Good evening, everybody. Brian Newbert here from GoldenBlack.com. Once again, driving up I-91 North through Hartford, Connecticut in his rental car, this time following Purdue's 87-61 NCAA Tournament Round of 32 win over Villanova, sending Purdue to its third Sweet 16 in as many years. Was in a little bit of a hurry tonight to get out of the arena because I was told by my parking garage guy here that he was leaving at 1 a.m. and I wanted to make sure I could get out of the parking garage this time. And yes, I do have a parking garage guy in Hartford, Connecticut. And no, I'm not going to ask him to do favors for you. Once again, this is your Golden Black Radio Express postgame podcast edition brought to you by Follett's Purdue Bookstores, Purdue Federal Credit Union, the 6th Street Dive Restaurant, First Source Bank, East End Grill, and Charters Team Remax Ability Plus. I actually had to look up the final score after the game because the score didn't matter for the final 15 or so minutes of this game, and I can't think of a better reflection of the thoroughness of a beating than that the score didn't matter for most of the second half. Before we get into talking about kind of the particulars of what all went into this win, just wanted to talk about some stage-setting matters. One, I had real concerns for Purdue in this game. I viewed it kind of more as of a toss-up than anything, in large part because I think, obviously, Villanova is a good team. Not the same team, obviously, that's won two of the last three national titles, but one that has some good pieces back, a strong culture established, and a de facto home floor advantage tonight. For its efforts in getting the highest seed of this pod here for the NCAA tournament, Purdue was rewarded with a 10:40 p.m. start time, followed by Villanova in Hartford, which was going to, again, be a de facto home floor advantage for Villanova had this crowd had anything to cheer about. Two, obviously, real concerns about Nojel Eastern's health. I think he was too important for Purdue to beat somebody better than Old Dominion without him operating at something close to full strength. Three, obviously, one of my big concerns about Purdue coming into the NCAA tournament was Carson Edwards and his shooting and his efficiency and the prospect of the worst-case scenario shooting night coming at the wrong time and ending Purdue's season. Just wanted to get all that out there before we actually talk about what happened. Obviously, what happened was the opposite of what's been happening for Carson Edwards. This was a performance for the ages, one of the great individual performances in the history of Purdue basketball, I'm quite confident in saying. I have not been around for all 100-whatever years it's been, but I do know that I can't really fathom a performance better, significantly better than that one. That was really, really stuff of legend. Carson Edwards scoring a career-high 42 points in the NCAA tournament against the defending national champion. That is, and doing so efficiently, and doing so with a great basketball mind about him. I thought, once again, he made great decisions, and when he makes shots, Purdue is pretty salty. And that obviously was the case tonight. He made early ones, he made late ones, and in between he made a bunch more. And this was simply a remarkable performance by an individual. And I'm sure it was extremely satisfying for Carson Edwards after some of his struggles throughout this season. Struggles that Purdue has really, as a credit to everyone involved, has been able to overcome and win a hell of a lot of basketball games. But the other point to make about the Carson Edwards show tonight is this. It should not overshadow everything else that happened, because Purdue, I have been around Purdue for 15 years or so, and I've been kind of thinking back. I can't think of a situation where I've seen Purdue play better. I'm not sure I've seen Purdue play as well. And Purdue's had some really good teams in my frame of reference, some great teams in my frame of reference, some teams that just put people in blenders. And I can't think of a game where Purdue has played this well. Now, for context, I'm not talking about non-conference games against riffraff. You know, I'm not talking about Purdue beating Iowa at home by 36. I'm talking about context here. In context, a game like this, obviously Purdue doesn't play the defending national champion every day, but a team of the defending national champion's caliber on a stage like this, Purdue playing this well, I don't think there's frame of reference for this. This was top to bottom. Matt Painter called it their best game of the year, and I think he's understating it markedly. I think this might be the best game of the Painter era, quite honestly, and that would be an interesting conversation to have. Taking into account context, again, no overwhelmed opponents, no riffraff, just what is the best game Purdue has ever played in a game of this magnitude. I think you're going to be hard-pressed to find anything that even proverbially holds a candle to it. It wasn't just Carson Edwards. It was everything. It was, as I said during the game on Twitter, it was like on defense, Purdue had 8 guys on the floor, and on offense, Villanova had 4. Because that's what it seemed like. Purdue was so good on defense, they were getting every rebound. The rebounding was absolute domination. And Purdue, from an offensive perspective, Purdue could not have been more prepared for this game. And when I say prepared, I don't mean ready to play as in an effort perspective. Obviously, they were that. But I mean, they knew what was going on. And that's the challenge of the NCAA tournament. One of the many is knowing what's coming at you on 24 hours preparation time. And you saw a cutthroat offense that was working to generate mismatches against a switching defense, and every time it saw one, it went at it hard and it went at it fast, and it worked. And obviously the offense, the story of the offense was Carson Edwards having a remarkable shooting game, but even beyond that, Purdue's execution, Purdue's recognition, which I think is significant in this case, was just absolutely off the charts, and just an unbelievably efficient, effective performance by Purdue in literally every element of the game. There was no element of the game that Purdue did not dominate. And beyond that, kind of some of the few moments that actually mattered. There was a moment in the first half where Villanova cut it from, I believe, 10 to 7. It looked like they had a little bit of hop in their step, so to speak. The crowd was maybe starting to get engaged a little bit, and Carson Edwards scored 5 points in a row, and that was that. The lead was back to 13, on its way to 19 at the half. Obviously, the start of the second half was the game. I tweeted during halftime, I believe, that this would be a really, really important first 5 minutes of the half, and it went pretty well because Purdue scored 14 unanswered points, I think it was, and Villanova scored 0 in the first, I think, 5.5 minutes or something like that. You really can't start a half better than a 14-0 run. And that just absolutely, utterly put the game away, removed all hope from Villanova's corner, took the crowd completely out of it, and was the game. And just a really, really outstanding performance by Purdue, a surprising performance by Purdue. If you saw that coming, then you are the worst homer I've ever met, because that was one for the ages. It really was. And I don't know if anybody could have seen that coming. I mean, I'm not talking about being surprised Purdue won. I'm talking about the absolute utter domination of an experienced team with a championship pedigree, with an accomplished coach, with proven veterans who've succeeded at the highest levels in the NCAA tournament. And this Purdue team just keeps, just kind of keeps on going. I didn't know what this team's ceiling was in the postseason. I kind of felt like this team had maxed out, gotten everything it possibly could have out of a team that really has probably overachieved this season. But they are obviously proving me wrong, because they're in the Sweet 16 again, and There've been a lot of Matt Painter critics over the years at Purdue, and I'm not turning this into an advocacy podcast here for Purdue's coach. But what I will point out is that 2 years ago, Purdue lost a first-team All-American, obviously, or arguably the best player in the country, in Caleb Swanigan. He was not named as such, but you could have made a case. Purdue turned around the next season and won more games than it did the year before and advanced to the exact same point it did in the NCAA tournament. Would have gone to the Elite Eight, if you ask me, if Isaac Haas does not shatter his elbow in the NCAA tournament. Purdue loses 4 seniors that made that team and largely the team before it. Purdue loses all of that stuff. Again, it's been well documented. 5,100 career points. God knows how many starts those guys accounted for. Tons of experience. Tons of skill. Purdue gets right back to where it was in the NCAA tournament after winning a Big Ten title. The common denominator among all of those things is, of course, Matt Painter. Obviously Carson Edwards as well, for one of them. But obviously Matt Painter is doing something really well with this program. So for everybody who said all of the NCAA tournament meltdowns, the common denominator was Matt Painter, this has now been flipped. And by meltdowns, I mean the Cincinnati game, the Little Rock game, and what have you. The last 3 years, this is what great programs do. This is what really good programs do. Great programs, you might even say. They keep on winning no matter what, and they keep on having the same level of success as they did before, no matter what happened. That's what Villanova's been doing. That's what Villanova was trying to do this year, and this Purdue team just stepped on its throat tonight in what has to be considered one of the best overall performances a Purdue team has ever played in the NCAA tournament. Again, I've not been around for all however many years it's been, but it's hard to imagine something better when there is no better, because this was damn near flawless by Purdue. And there's really not a whole lot more to say about it, because the game kind of speaks for itself. So I will now stop speaking. I am back at my Spring Hill Suites Marriott at the Hartford Airport, which adheres to the apparent state law that every hotel room in the state of Connecticut be overlooking a Dunkin' Donuts. I'll be flying out tomorrow morning and headed to Louisville this weekend. So we will talk to you again sometime from Louisville. Whatever day things start down there, we don't know yet. We'll find out here pretty soon. But for Brian Newbert from GoldenBlack.com, once again, this has been your Golden Black Radio Express post-game podcast, brought to you by Purdue Federal Credit Union, Follett's Purdue Bookstores, the 6th Street Dive Restaurant, the East End Grill, First Source Bank, and Charter's Team Remax Ability Plus. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening, and we'll talk to you again soon.